Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host. And for this episode, we're going to be answering questions from our viewers and listeners from Facebook, Twitter, and folks who emailed me directly. I'm not quite sure I enjoy giving out my email address. I should probably change that. At the panel this week, I have Client Services Manager Kevin Close.
Hello, everybody.
We have Agent Consultant Tracy Heinrichs.
Hi, everyone.
Back in the production facility, we have Associate Producer Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
And Producer Craig Williams.
Aloha.
Well, thank you guys for being here. This is an episode I've actually been looking forward to for some time. We wanted to make sure we had a couple of informational shows under our belt before we started doing the Q&A shows. But what this has done is this has given me the opportunity not only to, you know, go and answer people's questions, but to see what are people concerned about? What are they thinking about? So possibly these might make us have, it might be something for content for future shows. So I thought that was interesting to get an idea of what are people's concerns when it comes to their travel. So we're going to jump right into it. We are going to start to answer some questions. And our first one comes in, and I apologize, we did not associate people's names with these for this show. I forgot to ask people's permissions. So if you were looking for your name to be mentioned, my apologies. I should have clarified that ahead of time. But our first question is, for someone who likes to have control, what does a travel agent offer? Do you get to still amend or change things while you have an agent? Question we get quite often. People who are Disney fans and love to plan their trips to Disney, they are control freaks. They want to have every aspect of their vacation planned, and they're worried that as a travel agency, working with a travel agency, that we're going to take that away from them. The first thing I want to start with by saying is that when you book with a travel agent, specifically when you book with Dreams Unlimited Travel, there's no cost involved. So don't worry about there being an extra cost for using an agent. We get paid from the commission that Disney pays us after you have traveled. So that's first and foremost. There's no extra cost. But there's a lot that we offer to help you along the way in your planning. But the simplest question I can give you is you will have as much or as little control of your reservation as you like. The things you can't do, you will not be able to contact Disney and actually make a change to the reservation itself. That has to be done through your travel agent, and you will not be able to make a payment. Those have to be done through your travel agent. But other than that, when you work with your agent, you know, you figure out what it is you want to do, how much you want to be involved, how much you want them to be involved, and you come up with a plan. Tracy, anything you want to add to that? Is that
a couple things. When you work with a travel agent, as John had said, we are the ones making changes to the reservation directly with Disney. So you'll hear people say the travel agent owns or travel agency owns the reservation. That's what that means. And that's for your protection as much as ours. So that's about having one person with the ability to make the change on the reservation so that there aren't multiple people with their hands in the pot. So that's the reasoning for that. The other thing is with the payment, while you can't call Disney and make the payment, you submit payment details to us. It's actually Disney that's charging your card, not Dreams Unlimited Travel. So that's an important distinction. There are some travel agents who will charge your card and then pay the company on your behalf. We don't do that. So if you're worried about any Disney Visa promotions or anything like that, you are booking directly with Disney from that point of view. So you will see we book your reservation with Walt Disney Travel Company in the case of a Disney package. And it's Disney charging your card, whether it's Disney Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. It's those companies charging your card. We're just facilitating that transaction.
There's also something to be said for that. We've all heard those horror stories from way back where a travel agency went out of business and your reservation disappeared. Because Dreams Unlimited Travel never charges your card or holds your money, all of the monies that you've paid are with the Disney company.
Right.
So if something were to happen to our agency for whatever reason, God forbid, your reservation is intact.
Right.
And going back to the whole control issue, with Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line, there's now things you can do online, reservations you can make, things you can book in advance. And through things like My Disney Experience or Walt Disney World, you have complete control to do all of that yourself. You still have access to My Disney Experience. You can still do all of that. Or you can ask your agent to either assist you with that or do it for you or answer questions. So you don't have to be sort of quote unquote worried that my agent's not going to do it for me. If you're that concerned about having it done, you can do it yourself. Get on My Disney Experience, book your fast passes, book your dining. All of that is up to you. The only thing you really can't do is you really can't call up and, let's say, change your room or your dates or something like that. That has to be done through the travel agent.
And we also, we do monitor for discounts. We're constantly watching and seeing what's new, what's coming down. And we're kind of, we've become, I don't know what the word is, but on discount day, we all just kind of become one big rabbit's nest. I don't know what you'd want to call it, but we're all, you know, trading information and this is available and that's available. I've got so-and-so on the phone who needs to change next. We're all working on that. And so we're watching for those discounts and we are, you know, applying them as they become available.
Right. Automatic discounts. You don't have to do anything. We will make sure that a discount gets applied and then you get notified from your agent. Sorry, Kevin.
There's also something to having an advocate to work with Disney if in case something did go wrong with your reservation or your vacation or while you're away.
This is certainly the platform to say it. You know, we are one of the biggest travel Disney sellers in the world of Disney travel. And because of that, there are times when we can call people up and say, listen, I have a client who's had an issue. What can we do to fix it? And sometimes it's no, and we hit a brick wall, but many times we're able to get that done for our clients because of who we are and how much we sell.
I think another important thing that a travel agent offers is their knowledge. I like to have control. I've only used a travel agent twice, and it was Kevin both times I went on Adventures by Disney, and I tried to take control of it and ignore his advice and ended up getting bit in the butt because of it. So
it wasn't by me. I'm not biting people.
No,
because that's against HR rules.
It was.
For sure.
But yeah, no, the knowledge comes in. And if I would have just let go of that control and trusted Kevin in that regards, I would have ended up being a happier person. So
you got to remember, we book thousands of these. These are something that we do for a living over and over and over again. So we know all of the ins and outs and all of the information and everything we need to know to get that done for you and provide that for you in the appropriate way.
And we also, you talked about, you know, doing as little or as much as you want, working with your agent. As an agent, when I first start to work with a new client, it's a little bit like a dance. You know, you kind of figure out, you're feeling each other out. I don't always know ahead of time how involved they want me to be. I wouldn't want anybody to feel like I'm taking over planning their vacation. But at the same time, I wouldn't want somebody to think, you know, that they needed help that I wasn't giving them.
Right.
So, you know, having that communication in the beginning and kind of understanding, you know, and we have ways to do that. We, you know, when somebody first books, I send out a welcome letter that maybe, you know, will give them some suggestions, introduce some things, and then just kind of start to set the tone. So, and you do, and sometimes, you know, have a lot of repeat clients and you know each other's working styles.
Right.
But just when you're working with an agent for the first time or vice versa, it can take a little bit to, you know, just keep the communication open and know that not everybody has the same style.
Right.
And we are here to, as Kevin had said, to be an advocate. We know the battles. We also know how to pick our battles. We know that, you know, sometimes we've been down a road before and we know that's not a battle
right.
that can be picked. But we have a lot of experience and we know kind of what you're without. And I would hate for anybody to feel like they've lost control, you
right.
know, because that's a scary thing. You're right. spending a lot of money on this vacation. And it's really just those areas that John mentioned.
Not only do we have a lot of individual knowledge, we have a lot of collective knowledge.
Right.
Correct.
We are a team, and a lot of information that if I don't have the information, I know that there are people close by who do.
Yeah.
Most important, I think, about that, something Tracy kind of touched on, is the fact, tell your agent what you want. Tell your agent, I am a super uber planner. I want to plan everything myself. I want you for advice. Or I don't care. I want you to go ahead and book this for me and make my plans for me. As long as they know what they want, then they can meet and exceed your expectations. So communication is key on that. All right. Our next question. Very, very high up on my bucket list is a Disney cruise. When should you book? And are there ever any discounts on Disney cruises? Also, I'm the biggest Disney fan in the family. Everyone else can take or leave Disney, believe it or not. Will my dear husband and 13-year-old dear son have fun too? I should have written these out myself. Tracy, go ahead. Disney Cruise Line. Tell them all about those great discounts.
Can I first hear you say dear husband and dear son again?
Dear husband and dear son.
First of all, with a Disney Cruise, when should you book? As soon as humanly possible.
Right.
Disney Cruise is unique in the way that they've created a fervor, a fever. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
A knowledgeable fan base that gets excited as soon as something comes out and wants to book it right away.
Right.
For sure.
So if you are lucky enough to be ready and be able to book on release day when new itineraries are released or new dates are opened up, often that will be your best pricing. Disney is not known for their discounts as far as cruise line goes. They've only got 4 ships in their fleet. So unlike a cruise line like Royal Caribbean, who has many, many staterooms to fill, Disney does not. So things like discounts and promotions are few and far between with Disney Cruise Line. So you want to book out as far as you can. You want to try, if possible, to avoid holidays. Obviously, it's a, you know, with a lot of families cruising. If you're
if your kids are out of school, the prices will be higher.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, so if you don't have to sail during summer and spring break and Christmas, then you would save money, you know, sailing other times of the year. You want to book, if you can't book right away or when they open, as I said, book as soon as possible. Cruising works on tier pricing. So as so many cabins sail at each level, they go up to the next price level, the next price level. It's some kind of secret formula. We have no idea what it is. I can't tell you after they sell 10 cabins, the price is going to be this. It's not that straightforward. It's just something that happens.
On popular sailings, we've watched the tier pricing jump hour to hour.
Yes.
Yes.
We have easily seen that happen on release days, especially for the summer Europe stuff when they first release Alaska, anything like that.
Also want to point out, too, their tier pricing has now become a little more sophisticated in that it's actually down to the stateroom category. Right. So it used to be ship-wide, everything went up in price. Now it's actually, if one category is filling faster than others, that will get more expensive. So you can look at a similar category stateroom and possibly spend a little bit less money.
That's right. And that's another way to save money as well, is the type of stateroom. So on a cruise especially, I would say even more so on a Disney cruise, there's a lot going on. If you're on a 3 or a 4 night Bahamas sailing, maybe you can sail without a veranda. You know, I know there's different reasons why people choose verandas, but chances are you're not sitting out there watching the ocean go by on a 3 or 4 night cruise. So maybe that's a way that you can affect the budget a little bit. Sometimes, as opposed to doing a 7 night cruise, doing 3 and 4 back-to-back, 3 and 4 night back-to-back cruises can be less expensive than a 7 day cruise. So there's different things that you can do to help save money. As well, if you're flexible and you're working with an agent, let them know. Say, you know, budget is most important for me. This is when I can travel. Or I love it when somebody says to me, I've got $3,000 for this cruise. I love that challenge to maximize their dollars. Because again, sometimes it's not about the dollars, it's about the value. So I love to see how much value can I get for somebody, you know, within their budget. So working with your agent to, you know, to kind of figure out those things. But Disney Cruise Line, discount, cheap, these are not words that go
exactly
together.
You know, let's face it, Disney Cruise Line discounts are so slim, it's ridiculous. They do offer occasional military discounts, annual pass holder discounts.
Florida resident discounts.
Florida resident discounts. But again, when we are talking about, we see one stateroom every couple of months.
Yeah.
One stateroom
Florida resident will tend to come out a little bit more often. And military, they tend to be about the same rates. But these are coming out last minute. So they're coming out often 30 to 40 days before sailing.
Right.
So it's not that if you're military, you don't automatically get a discount. They're using these discounts to sell remaining inventory.
And the discounts, while a discount is a discount, these are not earth-shattering discounts.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes with the, what happens is sometimes somebody will be watching a cruise and the Florida resident rate will come out and they'll expect a really big discount. But often that price that you would have paid by booking early on when they were first released is sort of equivalent to what that discount is now.
Going back to the tier pricing is by the time you've gotten to the point that the discount is released, the price is already very, very high for that cruise. So the discount on that tier is probably less than you would have booked. Paid for if you booked it as soon as the cruise was released.
And it varies from week to week. I can tell you there's some weeks. I have a couple of clients who live here in Florida, and they often sail on the Florida resident rate. And so we watch, and every once in a while they'll say, okay, we think we want to go have a look. And I'm having a look for a family now sailing in March. And the prices are considerably higher than what they paid on a Florida resident rate in November. So it still depends a little bit on supply and demand, but sometimes there can be some discounts to be had last minute. Now, just to say a Florida resident rate, we can add to an existing booking. Military, we cannot.
Right.
So military is new bookings only, and they're almost always only available after final payment has been made.
And the inventory is usually very slim.
It is. Yeah, there's not usually a lot of choice. Often there's, like with the current Florida resident discount, there's an inside, an ocean view, and a veranda, kind of one category in each guarantee. So you're getting in a pretty basic. I think we should also mention here the IGT, OGT, and VGT categories.
You go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say.
John, why did you explain those?
You go right ahead. Okay? You go right ahead.
So with those, these are your guarantee staterooms. This is something that Disney has brought out to sell, again, last-minute inventory. So just as they do with the Florida resident and the military, they've released these categories, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Let's tell them what they mean.
So IGT is an interior guarantee. And then you have OGT for ocean view and VGT for veranda. And what that means is that if I book an IGT, I'm getting usually a very deeply discounted rate. Like there's usually some good value to be had in these. But in exchange for that, Disney has complete control over what kind of stateroom I get. So that inside stateroom, they have control of the category, they have control of the location and what my stateroom is going to be. They're just agreeing to give me a cabin on the ship, inside cabin, for a certain price.
That fits that category of interior,
right,
which is multiple categories within Disney's
exactly
inventory.
Same thing with the ocean view and the veranda. Right. So if I book a VGT, they're guaranteeing me a veranda, but not what size, whether it's obstructed, what deck it's on, what state. They're guaranteeing me nothing.
And
of
just
that.
Quick to say, Tracy said obstructed. That means obstructed view. Your veranda
right.
or your
there might be a lifeboat in your
window might have something outside of it where you don't have a full view.
Right. And so these are
just want to make sure because we tend to throw these terms out between
it's
us.
That's exactly true.
Right.
Yeah. And these are 100% non-refundable, non-changeable. Non-transferable once booked. These are, you sign on the dotted line, it's yours. Like, we don't even get
and
a 24-hour
don't they need
hold.
To be paid in full at the time you book
they
them?
They're paid in full at the time of booking because they're always last minute, so they'd always be paid in full, but we don't even get the 24-hour hold on these.
The other thing, too, I want to mention is that these are always released after final payment for the cruise comes up, which means that if you've already booked, you'd have to cancel your existing reservation and rebook and lose almost all of your money.
And in some cases, that's worked out. I've done the math for some clients, and sometimes it's worth paying the penalty to book the new. But we look at each of those cases individually because sometimes you may lose other things. So there's a lot involved in deciding to do that.
You can't just have this rate applied. If you already have an interior stateroom and they release an IGT, your agent can't then have that discount applied to it.
That's I'm going back to this lady's question. Well, yes, your husband and your son are going to have a great time.
They are going to have a great time. There's one more quote-unquote discount we have to cover, which is onboard bookings.
Yes. So onboard bookings, that's when you're sailing and you love it so much, you want to book the next one. So there are two different types of onboard bookings. One is called a placeholder. So this is you're giving Disney $250 and they're giving you a reservation number and you've got 2 years to decide what you're going to use that reservation number for. So
you don't have to pick a specific sailing or a category or a stateroom. All you're saying is sometime in the future, within these 2 years, I want to use this booking.
And for those of us familiar, we used to call them dummy dates. We used to say you'd book a dummy date on board. So same idea, only they've streamlined it. So it's $250 and it just kind of sits for 2 years. And then when you're ready, you contact your agent and we would move that to whatever sailing you chose. At the time you move it, you, as long as your sailing is not blacked out for onboard discounts, which is a whole different topic, right? You know, it's like if the moon is shining over the...
Right.
You will get a 10% discount. You'll also get an onboard credit based on the length of your cruise.
For a future cruise.
For a future cruise. And you'll also get an onboard credit from Dreams when that onboard booking is with us as well. If you book a straight onboard booking, that is, I know my date, I'm going to book it. You book the actual reservation on board. You get the 10% discount. If it's 7 nights or longer, it's half price deposit. You get the onboard credit from Disney Cruise Line. And then again, if you booked that under the agency, you would get an onboard credit from Dreams as well.
That is correct.
And in order to book onboard, you must be booking under the same agency that booked that reservation for you originally.
That is correct. One of the little things I want to sort of throw in there is it completely went out of my head about onboard bookings. Isn't that terrible getting old?
It is.
All right. So let's go on to that. I had something in my head I wanted to say, and I can't think of what it was. I know Kevin skipped ahead to the second part of that question, but, you know, will her husband and son have fun too? You know, this is, while it's Disney, this is not a theme park.
Right.
So this doesn't, if they don't enjoy a theme park, we're looking at a different type of vacation. It's still Disney, but there's tons of stuff for everybody to do.
This is still a cruise. This is a cruise vacation with a Disney theme to it. But it's not a theme park. It's not, if you don't want to go and hang out and have your pictures with characters, don't.
Exactly.
But it's the Disney level of service we've come to expect. The Disney, you know, just, it's Disney. This staterooms on a Disney ship are fantastic.
I remember what I wanted to say. Don't talk anymore. Or else it's going to go away again. What I wanted to say was, with the onboard bookings, if you know now before you're going, you know you're going to sail in the future. If you know now there's a sailing you want to book, we always suggest book that sailing now, even before you get on the ship, because there could be such a difference in the tier pricing by the time you sail that the 10% discount and the shipboard credit is negated by the increase in price.
Exactly.
Good point. You get on the ship, you can reshop it. Meaning you can book it again, or you can book a second booking and let your agent at home take care of it for you. But always, my biggest piece of advice is when you know you want to travel, book that cruise. Don't wait and hope something on IGT is going to be released. Don't hope that you're going to rebook on board, because the price can always go up and price you out. All right. Whew, so glad that came back. All right. So we are looking at now our next question, and I've lost where I'm going. Okay. My family of four, two kids, ages 7 and 9, have traveled with Disney many times. We visited Walt Disney World, Disneyland Resort, Disney Cruise Line, and our DVC members. We'd love to try an ABD trip, but would have to forego probably 2 years of vacations to save up. Is it worth the sacrifice? If someone said to you, your next trip can be an ABD, but you can't travel at all for 2 years, would you do it? My answer is going to be, it actually depends on the trip. If this were a bucket list trip for me, if this were a place I wanted to go badly and thought I'd never have the chance to go, yeah, I would give up 2 years of vacation to do that trip.
I would tell you it would depend entirely on your children. People ask me all the time if ABD is good for kids, and my answer is always kind of, I think, disappointing to them. Only you know your kids. I have people ask me, is the backstage magic good for children? And I think to myself, are your kids going to be interested in the history and the backstage parts of the trip? Are your kids going to be interested in the Great Wall of China? You have to decide if that's the thing. If you want them to see a certain place, in my opinion, these are luxury vacations. And you would have to weigh one way or another. As we were talking about during... as we've talked about in the past with booking Aulani or booking the Grand Floridian, if you're booking a top-end resort, is it worth the? Do you get the value out of that resort? Or would you rather book a much less expensive resort and take a trip every year? It depends on what you see value in. I think these trips are out of this world. Absolutely amazing. Are they worth saving up for? Yes. My answer might have been different when I was 15. I think when I was 15, I would have said, no, I want to go to Disney World every single year. As I get older, I want to visit more exotic places, which are more expensive. So again, this will depend on your family and your kids and what you want to see and what you want your kids to see.
Yeah. In my family, coming down to Disney World happened just, it happened a lot. It was usually either Hilton Head, Colorado, or Walt Disney World, and it just rotated on that. Apparently, whenever my sister and I both graduated, my dad promised that we could go on a vacation anywhere we want. I don't remember getting that deal because we ended up coming down here to Disney World whenever I graduated. And now, looking back at it, he says that I was so stupid that I could have gone to Europe, I could have gone to Hawaii, anywhere, but I chose here. Again, I still don't remember doing that, but I'll take his word on it. But, you know, that young of an age, 7 and 9, that still might be bordering on it. But after like 13, maybe 12, 13, that's when you have to start thinking about maybe I should make this decision also for my children. Because if my parents would have said, no, we're going to go travel to Europe, and that's just it, we're going to skip Disney World for a couple years, at the time I might be a little pissy with them. Mm-hmm. But looking back onto it now, where I'm dreaming of maybe, you know, skipping vacations for the next 5 years to hopefully do an ABD trip, one of the grand ones that is goes to someplace exotic like Asia or a more exotic Europe trip, I would rather have had my parents force that experience on me whenever I wanted to come on these trips.
And I feel like we're dealing with like younger kids that are in school or anything like that, like you have so much that's occupying your life. So like those 2 years are going to fly by when you're younger. Like you won't remember that big gap later in life. And but whereas you might remember that Adventures by Disney forever. You
know, it's also people are at different stages in life, and people have different income and different abilities. There are people who forego a regular vacation every 2 years to come to Disney. So, you know, people are making that sacrifice in their lives. They're deciding, you know what, maybe we're not going to take a short trip to the ocean, to the beach. We're not going to go to the mountains this year because 2 years from now we want to go to Walt Disney World or we want to go on a cruise. It's your personal decision of what
you
want to do.
It's where you set your priorities.
Right. I go back to, if this is a bucket list trip for you, something you've always wanted to do, skip Disney World for a year and go on Adventures by Disney. Just my opinion. All right, our next question. With all the great discussions about Adventures by Disney, one thing that I have trouble understanding is total cost. Can you go over generally what's included in the price and what travelers will pay for separately? Kevin, I'm going to let you take that.
Most of your trip is part of the price. Your lodging, your transportation while traveling, most of your meals, and that pretty much covers it. Entrance to any activities you do. The entire trip that's listed is paid for. There will be certain days on any trip where you will have time on your own and your meal would be listed on your own. At the beginning, you can see at what's included in each trip. It'll tell you 7 dinners on a 9-night trip. There will be 6 or 7 dinners. Breakfast is usually included every day, but there might be days where lunch is not included because they expect you to be out touring on your own. And you would decide what your food choices would be. Airfare is not included in the price. You have to get from your home to the beginning of the adventure. And gratuities for your 2 adventure guides are not included. All of the gratuities for bell staff, hotels, the step-on guides, anyone you would expect to give a tip to during your travels is taken care of. Your bus driver, the only 2 people that are not are the adventure guides, and ABD suggests $6 to $9 per day per person for each adventure guide. So I would guarantee you that once you are done with your trip, you're going to think your adventure guides are worth more than the $6 to $9 per day per person. But that's what's included.
Depending on the trip, there's quite a bit that's included, you know, and you might have to budget a little bit less for meals, that type of thing. You also have to look at the trips individually and see what happens there. But I think for the most part, you know, I would call these all inclusive.
Yeah, transportation from the airport to your starting hotel and at the end, you know, that's included. So you're not worrying about how you're getting yourself.
Right.
You know, you're getting
ABD
yourself
comes
there
to the airport and picks you up.
Right.
And there's the intangibles we talk about. There are things that, you know, ABD having 2 guides, taking care of your luggage. Luggage handling sounds like a nothing thing until you watch other tour groups.
Exactly.
When we were in Ireland and we had another tour group that kind of was somewhat following us along as we were going through some of the different things, a couple of the hotels we stayed at, I watched their one frazzled tour guide with all 40 of them. You know, and I watched their luggage be taken off by the bus driver and just put on the side of the road, and they had to, you know, schlep it to wherever they were going. I didn't have to do that. I got off of the bus and I went to my, you know,
I went to a reception.
Yeah. I might have had a drink. I went to my room. My bags just showed up later in the day. When it was time to send them out, when I was, you know, when we were changing resorts or changing hotels, I left my bags and I went to breakfast. They just showed up that night in the next hotel.
And there's a funny thing about that. When you first do that, it's a little unnerving. Right. And you're like, well, I'm just going to take this one with me.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
I'm just going to keep this one with me just in case. And by the end of the trip, we're throwing extra stuff on them.
That's right.
Oh, here, take my wallet.
Yeah.
Take my phone. Yeah,
so I would say these prices are all inclusive. There are meals. There's a couple of meals on your own. And there are airfare and guides, gratuities. Also, anything you decide to buy in any area is on your own.
Excellent. All right, we're going to do one more question before we end the show. We've got quite a bit of questions. So what we're going to do is this will be a two-parter. We'll do another question and answer show next week. But we're going to end with, I live in Louisiana, and I'm flying to Walt Disney World on November 12th, 2016. Will we need a passport then? I've done some investigating, but seen we get conflicting information. You and me both.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Tracy really give sort of the detailed answer of this because I know she did the research on it. But what we've been hearing is that at some point there may be a time when every state is going to make you show a passport for travel. We're not at that point yet. At the point, what is it now, five states?
I don't think we're actually going to get to that point.
Well, that was what we were hearing.
That was the rumor.
Right.
That was the rumor. And what I think where the rumor started was, first of all, the answer to your question is no. You don't need a passport on November 12th of 16 to fly from Louisiana. So that's the short answer, no. But we were all of a sudden this rumor came out that people were going to start needing passports. These enhanced driver's license, these driver's license weren't complying, and there was all kinds of hoopla about it. So what's happened is apparently there's some driver's license that don't comply to the real, I think it's the Real ID Act is what it's called. Right. And so there, those that don't comply, people in those states would have had to have had a passport as a legal document to fly with. So that's all been extended. And so now it's until, I wrote down some dates so I didn't get them wrong. January 22nd of 18 is the extension. And this is for all non-complying and states who are going to comply. So, you know, there's a, maybe what I'll do is I'll try to get Craig the link. There was a really good graphic
to Homeland Security's page that talks about what has to be done when. Yeah,
that's right. And it talks about each state. Now, at the at January 22nd of 18, there's only five states left that as of right now will not comply. And that's America, Samoa. One of these days, you guys have to explain that to me. but separate from that, there's Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, and Virginia. As of right now, those states will not comply as of January 22nd of 18. So after that date, as we sit here today, people in those states would need a passport to fly. Now, there's talks about compliance and different things. I am positive those states are going to come up with a way to comply. And if they say, yes, we are going to comply, and any other state who's not yet complying but has committed to comply, they actually get an extension until October of 2020. So as long as a state says, as of January 22nd of 18, yes, we are going to comply, then they have until October of 2020 to actually comply. So I think this is something that's kind of on the horizon. I think it ended up blowing up and getting all kind of, you know, the rumor definitely was worse than reality.
Right, exactly. There was a great bit of misinformation
there was
that was flying
and,
around.
So as of right now, no, January 22nd of 18 is the next date to pay attention to. And as I said, there's just a handful of states at this point who are not either complying or set to comply.
I do want to throw in one piece of advice. My piece of advice is everyone should have a passport. Yes. I realize that some of you may say, well, that's silly. I'm never going to leave the country, blah, 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 blah. Having a passport is so easy to get and will make your travel so much easier, even within the United States, if you're traveling from state to state. just go and get one. Just invest in it, because there's also that possibility that you will have an opportunity to leave the country and go somewhere else. Why not be prepared?
And this is,
your passport is good for 10 years, so I realize there's a cost up front.
5 years if you're Canadian.
No, everything's worth less.
Although we are starting to get a 10-year option as well, which is really big for us. Phew. Exciting.
Okay, if you live in the United States, it's good for 10 years. And if you average the cost out of your passport over 10 years, it's not that expensive.
Exactly.
Can we briefly just say, we get the question a lot about cruising with passports. If you are a U.S. citizen on a closed-loop cruise.
Meaning
that it starts and ends in the same U.S. port. Then you do not technically need a passport. But you really should have a passport if you're cruising. If you're cruising to the Bahamas, while technically you don't need it, your driver's license or photo, your driver's license and your
birth certificate
will get you on the ship. If you were in the Bahamas and you get sick and you need to be taken to a hospital in the Bahamas and you're not getting back on the ship, now you're in a situation where you need to fly home. And now you're entering the U.S. by air, and there are passport rules to enter by air. So there's so many things. And I think in our business, we get a little cautionary. We always see what happens when things don't go right.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, if you think about what you're investing in this trip, a little bit extra investment for a passport that isn't just for one trip.
Right.
You know, maybe worth the peace of mind.
Agree 1,000%. 1,000%. Get a passport. Stop being cheap. All right. Well, that'll do it for this question and answer show. We're going to save the rest of our questions for a part two that we'll be doing next week. But this is the point of the show where we do our agent spotlight. Each week, we like to highlight one of our Dreams Unlimited Travel agents and give them the opportunity to be seen and for you to learn a little bit about them, especially if they can't be here or come to the studio. And this week, we are going to spotlight Kathy Werling. Kathy has worked for Dreams Unlimited Travel for almost 10 years. She lives very close to Walt Disney World and visits several times a week. I think it's actually several times a day. After living here for 12 years, she still hasn't gotten tired of being so close to the theme parks. Kathy loves helping her clients plan their perfect vacation. Kathy's also part of the Diz Unplugged weekly podcast and the Diz content team. Kathy's biggest piece of advice when planning a Walt Disney World vacation is to, quote, pack your patience. Her second piece of advice is to allow yourself time to enjoy the details and the magic around you. You just might create some wonderful family memories. The theme parks are the perfect place to forget about life for a while. Kathy specializes in Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, and Universal Orlando Vacations. So if you're interested in working with Kathy, she is Kathy, KathyW, at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Thank you, everybody, for participating in our conversation and for being here. Thank you, everybody at home, for watching and listening. We truly appreciate it. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you have a great vacation.